We begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Nun Gimel. Begin 5 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the discussion that would relate back to the halacha of the previous daf, where the Mishnah had said the last in the 4 of the hierarchy of the severity of the death penalties, which was chenek, that of being choked to death, which one of the examples was Eishes Ish. How do we know a married woman that's mezana gets chenek? So there was two machlekes regarding if we know it because of meis yumas, which is unspecified. So when it's unspecified, you can't give the most severe, or because we learn out exer shava from misa b'dei shemayim to misa b'dei adam. But be that as it may, the Gemara will introduce a discussion that will relate back to that halacha. Amar Reb Zeira Labai, he says shar haniskalim, regardless of all the other averis sins that get the death penalty of being stoned, meaning not idol worship or the znus of anayim maras or chilul Shabbos or v'yadani or megadiv, where all those actually the next mishnah will say there are many of those that it speaks explicitly in the Torah, it says that they get skila. But we're talking about all the other ones that get stoned. They're like siv b'hu skila, that it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that they get skila, but the gamri, but that we learn as the Gemara will teach later on from exer shava. And this is on the daf nedalim, on the next daf. Mi ayvi yadayni. We learn that from Gzeir Shav, from ayvi yadayni, where the Torah explicitly says over there skila, which ayvi yadayni are different types of kishuf of witchcraft. So, but my gamri, with which words are the extra words in the psukim that we learn out to compare Gzeir Shav, where it says the words, those words by ayvi yadayni, and says by all these other places, and therefore we learn that just like over there, it's skila also by all these other places, it's skila. Is it b'mois you must do gamri? Is it learned out from the words "die"? That shall surely die, which it says by Ebi Yudaini, and so too it says it. But all these other places that get skila, that's exeris shava. Oy b'demayim bum gamri, or is it from the words that their blood is on them? Those words it says by Ebi Yudaini, so too by all these other places. That's how we know they get skila. Which is the superfluous words that teaches us exeris shava? So Amalei. So Abai responded to Reb Zeira. It says b'demayim bum gamri. It's from the word demayim, their blood, where it says that by Ayvi Adaini, says about all these other places, and that's the Gzer Shabbat that's superfluous, that teaches us that just like over there, it's Skila, so do all these other places. Says Abai, I'll prove it to you. Dehiba Maisu Masu Gamri, because if we learned it out from the words, die, they should surely die, demayim, demayim, lamali, then what would those words, demayim, in both of those psukim be teaching if they're superfluous and there's nothing that it comes to teach? And therefore, must be that the Gzer Shabbat that's from the extra words, what's extra words is demayim bam, and not from Maisu Musu. So he asked back to him, Elamai, so what are you saying? But Dmeim Dmeim Gamri. So the Gzer Shav is from the words their blood. So then Moshu Masu Lama, then what does the words die that shall surely die come to teach? Those words are also superfluous, and what are they coming to teach if not the Gzer Shav? So then answers Abaya, that's Kedetanya. That's like we learned in the Braisa, that explains what those words are for. The Pasuk of Midbar says, Mois Yuma Samaka, the one who kills shall surely die, because Ritzeyahu is a murderer. Says the Braisa, Ainli Elabimisak Subabai, I would only know that you kill the murderer with the death penalty that the Torah designates regarding a murderer. Minayin Shemiyatu Yochalam Misa Bimisak Subabai, now we would know that let you can't kill him with the death penalty that the Torah says you should kill him for. Let's say he's a fugitive. Shatu Bimisa Bachal Misa Shatu Yochalam Misa, you can kill him any which way that it takes to kill him. Tamalem, that's the Pasuk teaches, Mois Yuma Samaka, the one who killed shall surely die, Mikamaka means to tell you in any way that you could kill him. That's what the words in all these contexts teach you. Maisu Masu, which they're yes, the purpose is to teach you that if you can't kill him with the death penalty that it designated, which is skila, you kill him any which way that you could. And the Gzer Shavas learned that from the main bomb. However, Amalei Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina. Rav Acha from Difti asked Ravina, this that Reb Zeira had asked Abaya, B'mai Gemiri, he wanted to know, what are the words that we learn at the Gzer Shava from all the other places that doesn't say in the Torah explicitly that they get skila, that they learn from Abidani, what are the words? So, Rav Acha Medifti asked Ravina, what exactly bothered Reb Zeira if, let's say, they would have learned the Gzer Shava from Maisi Musu? He's asking a question, which words? But what's the difference? Obviously, because you have a question underneath that, which many times when people have a question, there's another question really beneath that. Well, if it's going to be Maisi Musu, then I have a difficulty. Oh, okay, you tell me demand, but I'm fine. What would have been the difficulty? V'iba Maisu Musu Gami, if let's say the Gzer Shava would have been learned out from the words Maisi Musu, Maiku Kashle, so what would have been so difficult? So okay, the maskan is demayim bam, but what would have been the problem had it been maisu masu? Ilema eishes is kokashli. So he continues the question. He says, and if you think, and this is where it relates to the discussion in the previous daf, if it's because he would have been bothered then by the halacha of eishes ish, a married woman that's mezana, that why does the Torah say, as we learned in the previous mishnah, that since it says that she gets death and does it's unspecified that she gets chenek, Why? Why should get chenek, which is the lowest of the death penalties? L'meisi u'l'migmer meis yumas me'ayv yadayni. We should learn it out from, it says, she shall surely die, from ayv yadayni, where it says, meis yumasu. And just like we learn that all the other those who get skila, where it doesn't say explicitly that they get skila, rather just meis yumasu, unspecified, and we learn that from ayv yadayni, we should say the same thing by eish asish. Malahal and Beskila, just like over there, the death penalty is being stoned. Afkam Beskila, Sosot over here, Be'eish, it should be Skila and not Chenek. And that says the Gemara, but that can't be his question. That couldn't have been what was bothering Abzera. Because when the Amrach, Manarusa Beskila, from the fact that the Torah says that Narusa, which we've said in previous Dafim, an engaged woman has a more severe halacha than a Nesua, gets stoned. Mechlad the Nesua, La Beskila. So obviously, a married woman, a Nesha, does not get stoned. So how could that have been what was bothering him when we know clearly the Torah is indicating that a Nesua, a Nesha, does not get stoned? So the Ella, rather, what are you going to say? Maki ove ve'ima kakashli. No, what was bothering Reb Zera, had we been learning it, the Gzerish of Meisi Musu, would have been someone who hits his father and his mother, creating a wound. Where the Gemara tells us later on that his death penalty is with chenek, as the Gemara says in that pedal and abeis, and then the question of what was bothering Reb Zera was, why? L'meisi u'l'migmer ma'ayv yadayni. We should learn that Gzerish of ma'ayv yadayni, where it says Meisi Musu, and here it also says Meisi Musu, and therefore it shouldn't be chenek, it should rather be skila. However, on that, the Gemara says, but then why, still it's difficult, what would have been bothering Reb Zera? Because Adagami Ma'i B'Yudayni, instead of learning out the Gzera Shav Ma'i B'Yudayni, Ligmur Me'eshes Ish, it makes sense that Maki Ava'ima should be learning out from Eshes Ish. And that makes more sense, because since you could learn out a Gzera Shav from a less severe death penalty and a more severe penalty, D'i Ata Rishoy L'Moshech L'Hachmer Lel, as we learned in the previous stuff, you have no right to go ahead and draw to the more severe death penalty, El-Hokalel, rather to be on the more lenient death penalty. So why would that be a difficulty either? Yeah, even if it says Moshech Masu, but we're going to compare it more to Eish Hashish, which again we just said clearly is going to be not Skila, and not to the compare it to Ayvi Yudaini. So Malay, so he said to him, to answer what would have bothered Reb Zera, says Ravina Tervach Medifti, Sharhan Eskal and Gufayu Kakashle. What was bothering him was all those other halachas that we learn out that they get skila from Gzereshav Mayvidaini, Diiba Maisu Masu Gamri. If the Gzereshav would have been from the words die, they should surely die. Ad the Gamri Mayvidaini, instead of learning out the Gzereshav Mayvidaini, which gets skila, Ligmur Me'eshes Ish, they should learn it out from a married woman, which, as we just said a second ago, you can't pull it to the more severe death penalty, rather to the more lenient. So all those other halachas that say Maisu Masu should not get skila, as Ayvidaini has, but rather should get chenek like Eshes Ish. And therefore, that's what the maskana was, that no, said Abaya, it's not from Moshe Masu, because Reb Zera, I get your question. Rather, it's from Demeyim Bam, where that's only a comparison to Ayv Yudaini has the word Demeyim Bam, and just like by Ayv Yudaini has Skilo, so do all those other ones have Skilo. Which then that takes us into the next Mishnah, where we went through the three Mishnahis with the previous parak, talking about all the different death penalties. Now we're going to specifics in each one. Elohein Haneskalin, these are them that get the death penalty of being stoned. Some of them where it says explicitly in the Torah that they get skila, and those that don't say explicitly, as we said before, it says by them Demeim Bam, which is Exereshav Ayv Yudaini. And they are Haba, Elohim, if someone has relations with his mother, Valeshes Av, or his father's wife, Valakala on his daughter-in-law, Valazacher with another male, Valbehema with an animal, bestiality, Vaisha Hamavias Behema, and a woman that brings an animal onto her, where because of the different type of relationship, she brings the animal on her for relations. The Hamagadiv, or someone that's a blasphemer, someone that curses God. And someone that does idol worship. Or he gives him his children to Melech, which Rashi points out, obviously, that this Tana holds that Melech is not idol worship, from the fact that it said already idol worship, and then it says Melech. Rather, he holds that it's just a statute of non-Jews, and the Torah still says that if someone does that, he gets Skila, as the Gemara says on the Samach Dalam and Aleph. Ubal Oiv, someone that practices Oiv, which is that he takes from a dead person from the ground, and he puts a part of that by his underarms, under his arms, and then it speaks from itself from his underarm. Or V'yadayni, which it speaks from his mouth. As the Gemara says, that there's a certain animal that's called Yadua, that they take a bone from it and put it in his mouth, and the bone talks from itself through witchcraft, through sorcery, in his mouth, which the mission later on of Samachim Al-Af will explain what Oiv Yadayni is. V'amachal es ha-Shabbos, someone that desecrates the Shabbos, does one of the malachas. V'amachal av v'imai, someone curses his father and his mother, which actually a more severe death penalty of skila than someone that hits his mother and father. The reason for that is because there's two things. First of all, he's embarrassing his parents, and he's also saying out the name of God in vain. And v'habal na'im arasa, someone has relations with an engaged naira, a girl that's between 12 and 12 and a half. The hames is someone that incites an individual to do avodah zarah. The hamadiach, someone that incites a city to do avodah zarah, which is what's called the iran idachas, which later on the Gemara and Perek Eilat Nachnak and the Pei Testament Amud Beis will explain where we know that the madiach gets skila. V'amachashif, and some of the practices sorcery, as the Gemara says in Samach Zayin and Alf, where do we know that gets the punishment of skila? And Uven Sarimur, and the wayward son also gets stoned. Now, the Mishnah explains the first case that we mentioned was Habo'a La'im. If someone has relations with his mother, so then that the Mishnah says, if he does it by mistake, if he does it deliberately, so then he gets skila. If he does it by mistake, so then Chayav Olah, he's liable for this relations with his mother, two karbanos chatos. And the reason for that is because by Ola Arayis, it says in the Torah that they get karis. Now, karis is the relationship. If someone does it deliberately, if someone does it by mistake, he has to bring a karmachatas. So even though it's with the same body, we're talking about one woman that he's having relations with, but as the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Sechtas Makas, after Yudalim and Aleph, that just like by his sister, he could be liable too. One is because paternally and maternally, here also the Rabbanan differentiated, as the Gemara will explain, and say that he's going to be chayavala, he's going to be liable for her, one mishum aim, because that she's his mother, and also because he's his father's wife. So if his mother was engaged to his father, meaning that she did not give birth to him out of wedlock, or even if she did, but she later got married to him, so she's both his mother and his father's wife, say the Chachamim, that this man is going to be liable for relations with his mother, for two karbanos chatos, one for his aim, his mother, and one for Eshazav. Behudaimi disagrees. He says, no, in the chayv el mishum ha'im bolvad, the only liability would be one karmachatis for having relations with his mother, as the Gemara will explain. Continues the Mishnah. Habal Isha's Ab, the next case that the Mishnah spoke about, which again deliberately gets skila, if there's witnesses in Hasra, if not, if he does it by mistake, if he has relations with his father's wife, Chai Mishum Isha's Ab says the Tandakama, he's liable for one karmachatis because it's his father's wife, or Mishum Isha's Ish, and also because she's a married woman, she's married to his father. And this applies bein mechaya aviv, bein la'achamisis aviv, whether when his father's alive or whether when his father's not alive anymore, which obviously, as Rashi says, this is talking about the liability of eshes av. Eshes ish obviously doesn't apply if the husband's not alive anymore, but for eshes av, the pasuk includes even after the death of his father, as the Gemara will explain, that will apply that iser even after his father passed away. And bein in the erisin, whether if his father was only engaged to her, and because once there's kedushin, she's already considered his wife, as the pasuk says in the Varmach of Dalad, ki yikach ish isha, when a man will take a woman, which tells us from the moment that he takes her, he's called his wife, and that kicha is called kedushin, as the Gemara says elsewhere. Kedushin, we learn the kicha from steyef, and that's where we learn out the halach of kedushin, and it's called his wife. And beim nesuin, and the isha sab would apply, obviously also if they were married. Now continue on the next case. Habo al kalosai. If someone has relations with his daughter-in-law, says the Mishnah, chayav aleh mishum kalosai u'mishum eisha sish. So there are two liabilities. One because she's his daughter-in-law, one because she's a married woman married to his son. And the isra of kalosai, if his daughter-in-law, applies bein mechayi b'noi, bein la'achem isa b'noi, whether when his son is alive or if his son even passed away already, and bein min erisin, bein nesuin, whether if they were only engaged or if they were also married. Now the Gemara is trying to learn the braisa. Mihuda Aimer, he says, if this man's mother was not fit to be married to his father, then if he has relations with his mother, then he's only going to be liable for the isser of having relations with his mother, which Rashi obviously points out that this Tana, who is quoting Rabbi Huda, disagrees with the Tana of our Mishnah, who quotes Rabbi Huda. Because Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah did not differentiate if his mother, who is married to his father, where he says only going to be chayiv because of his mother, not because of Eshes Av, is fit to marry his father or not. In contrast, the Tana, this Braisa holds that the reason of Rabbi Huda, why he holds that he's only going to be liable because of his mother and not because of Eshes Av, is because his father doesn't have Eshes with his mother. Therefore, it's not called Eshes Av because she's not supposed to be, not allowed to be married to his mother. So the Gemara clarifies, my inner ruler, what is this case of Yehuda the Braisa that's saying that if his mother's not fit to be married to his father, then there's only an Isra of his mother, not of his father's wife. Ile mechiv increases vechiv misses bezin. If it means to say that because she's the death of Karis or a court mandated death penalty, if he's married to her, which as the Gemara tells us later on, and the Gemara tells in Kedushin in the third perek that Kedushin is not toifis if someone marries someone that's an issa karis or achiv misses bezin. And that's a case which is not roi tim, and therefore it's not eshes av. But then the Gemara asks mechlal the rabbanan savri, but that would infer that the rabbanan did disagree with Rabbi Yehuda that avagav de ainu ruyalai, that even if she's not fit to him, then he'll still be liable the son with his mother because of eshes av. Unless like kedushin megava, but everyone agrees there's no kedushin in such a woman as chivim misses bezin. So how would that be that the rabbanan would hold that you would be chayv because of eshes av? Now the rather says the Gemara chiv alavin. Rather, must be talking about that his mother is a mamzeres or a nesina, which is a negative prohibition for his father to marry her. Or it's, let's say, his mother was a widow married to a kohen gadol, which the Gemara tells us in Samachesim and Aleph in their Kedushin, that Kedushin is typhus in the Chiyuv Alavin, if it's just a negative prohibition, not punishable by a death penalty. Where the Pasuk tells us, one is a loved wife, one's a hated wife, which that means to say because of the Isser of it. Rabbi Yehuda Savala Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Kiva, the Amar in Kedushin Taifis Mechiyab Lavin, which Rabbi Kiva holds that Kedushin is not Taifis, does not take effect in someone that's a negative prohibition to marry. Now the reason for Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara there in Kedushin explains, is because the Torah tells us, Lo Yikach Ish as Eshes Aviv. A man is not allowed to take his father's wife, which he holds that it's talking about Anusis Aviv. It's talking about the woman that his father had raped. Because the Pasuk over there is talking about Lo Yigala Kanaf Aviv, which is the robe that his father had seen. On that, the Torah says, Lo Yikach, what is it saying? That ain loy likuchin ba, that there is no kicha, there's no kedushin over there. So you see that although Anus is up, is only chiv alavin, we see that kedushin is not toifis. So therefore, that was the case Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that if his father is not fit for his mother, based on the negative prohibition, Rabban hold kedushin is toifis. Therefore, there would be the isra not only of mother, but also of eshesav. In contrast, Rabbi Yehuda, who's like Rabbi Kiva, holds kedushin is not toifis, so therefore there's no eshesav. She's not married to him, rather, it's only the isra of one's mother. However, on this interpretation that Rabbi Huda of the Brisa is going like Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara asks, Masa Rav Eishiya, asks from the Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. The Mishnah is told about a Yevama that falls for Yibum in front of her brother-in-law because her husband died without any children, for Yibum, but she's forbidden to her brother-in-law either because of Isra Mitzvah or because of the Isra Kedusha, either based on a Mitzvah principle or because of a sanctity principle. So it says the Mishnah that Allah is, Chaltzais, so the brother-in-law has to do chalitza, and in other words, what that means to say is she can't just leave that brother-in-law and marry someone else without anything being done to her, because although we're going to chiva krisis, if she's a issakaris to her brother-in-law, the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechtas Yevamos from Gzeira Shavah of Aleha, that she actually leaves the brother-in-law without anything, she doesn't even need chalitza, that's because that's a very severe isser of karis, where kedushin is not taifis. But if there's only an isser mitzvah or isser kedusha, where kedushin is typhus, so then the Gemara there on Daf Chaf actually includes from the word yevimti yevimti that there is a yevama that will come to the gate for chalitza, even though she's not viable for yibum. And which one is that? That's chiv alavin. So on that, the Mishnah says, so she gets chalitza, but v'loy misya bamis, but she does not obviously get yibum from her brother-in-law because she's forbidden to him, whether because it's a rabbinic or because of a negative prohibition. Now, although one would think, so if it's just a negative prohibition, then the assay of Yibim should be derechid lois assay of the Isser, let's say Amon Lekan Gadol, whatever it is, on that the Gemara there says in Yevamos that, yeah, although that would be appropriate for the first act of Bia, but because then that would be fulfilling the mitzvah of Yevama Yevalel, but then they might come to do it a second time, which there's no more mitzvah assay there anymore, and it would only be a lois assay. So because of that, rabbinically we say that, no, they can't do Yibim at all. Now, continues the Gemara Talmud Beis, the Mishnah itself says over there, so what's Issa Mitzvah? What's the case that we're talking about that it is a mitzvah prohibition? It refers to Shnius M'Dibri Seifim. It's because it's a rabbinic Isser from the rabbis. Now, the Amiram explained, V'amai Karlohu Issa Mitzvah, why, so then, is this called an Issa Mitzvah if it's rabbinic? She Mitzvah L'Shmai Dibri Chacham, because there's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the sages, that's why we call it an Issa Mitzvah. And when the other case was Issa Kedusha, a sanctity prohibition, that refers to Amon L'Kohen Gadol, a widow to a Kohen Gadol, or Grusha V'Chalitza L'Kohen Hedyot, a divorcee or a Chalutza to a Kohen Hedyot, which those are negative prohibitions biblically. Now, by my Karlu Issa Kedusha, why are they called sanctity prohibitions? Tachsib, because the negative prohibitions that pertain specifically to Kahanim, the Pasuk says, Amayikra, Kedushim Yiyu Leiloi Heihem, they should be holy to their God, which tells us that the negative prohibitions of Kahanim is an Issa of Kedusha. That's the first opinion. But with Tani Allah, we learned on that, Rabbi Yehuda Machlef, he actually switched it around. And he said, he explained that, no, Issa Mitzvah is actually the case of Malacha and Gadol. Why? Because the Pasuk says there in Vayikra Chav Zayin at the end of Sefer Vayikra, when it concludes all the mitzvahs of the kahuna, it says, Eila ha-mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs. So therefore the Isuri kahuna, which are Malacha and Gadol, Grisha V'chol, Tzirka and Hedja, are called Isuri mitzvah. And Issa Kedusha actually applies to Shnias and Debi Seifim regarding the rabbinic prohibitions. For example, his mother's mother or his father's mother. Now, why is it called Issa Kedusha? Because a chacham tell a person, Kadesh Asmucha b'mutalach, sanctify yourself in what's permitted to you so that you should distance yourself, even what's permitted, that you don't come to violate the biblical prohibition. Now, so that's Rabbi Huda, who switches it around. And he says again that Issa Mitzvah is the kahuna prohibitions and Issa Kedusha is the rabbinic. But one thing the Gemara says from this whole discussion is Chalufi Huda Machlev. Okay, so he switches it around. But Chalitza Bay, but he agrees to the primary halacha that's mentioned there in that Mishnah, which is by Issa Mitzvah, Issa Gedusha, which is a negative prohibition. Amalekah and Godla, Grisha V'chalitza Kohen Hedjid are Chiyuv Alavin, and says Rabbi Huda that you're going to require Chalitza. But that, as the Gemara, Bisa Gedaita Rabbi Huda Kareba Kibas, really, but if you would entertain to say, like you wanted to answer, that Rabbi Huda in this Bryce is going like Rabbi Kiva, and that's why there's no Chiyuv of Eshes Av by Isha Shein Ruyaloi from his mother to his father, it's because she's a Chiyuv Alavin, the Kedusha is not Taifis. But Mechti, let's see. Chiyuv Alavin, a negative prohibition like the case of Amalekah and Gadol, according to Rabbi Kiva, Kechiva Krisis Dami. He equates that with a Chiyuv Krisis, as we said before, which Kedusha is not Taifis. Vechiva Krisis, and now regarding Krisis type of relationships, Labanei Chalitza v'yibim ninu, there is no requirement of even Chalitza vechiva Krisis. They just go scot-free the widow, and she goes and marries. Instead of getting Yibim Chalitza, she goes and marries whoever she wants to. So therefore then the same thing should pertain to Chiva Labanei Chalitza v'kiva, because just like Chiva Krisis, there is no Kedushin, so there's no Chalitza v'yibim. So to Chiva Labanei, since there is no Kedushin, so there's no Chalitza v'yibim. So how does that work well with Rabbi Huda, who says that a Chiva Labanei will require Chalitza, if you're saying he holds a Rabbi Kiva? And that answers the Gemara, you're right. Rabbi Huda holds that there's no Chalitza. Over there was Ledvar of the Tana Kama, was it going according to the words of the first Tana, who said that a widow does require Chalitza. That's what Kama, that's what Rabbi Huda was saying, that according to you, that you hold that it requires Chalitza. But on that he was disagreeing and saying, but don't call that the kisa of Chiva Lavan is to Kedusha, rather call it a mitzvah. But Valei, Leisvirle, you're right. Rabbi Huda doesn't hold to the whole halacha. He was just saying, even according to your opinion, don't call that is to Kedusha, that when it's a mitzvah, but rather turn it around. So again, for it's not difficult for the interpretation we gave for Rabbi Huda and the Braisa that he does hold a Rabbi Kiva, and he holds that Kedusha is not Taifus for Chiva Lavan. Now the Gemara continues and says, but Kiyasa Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, he brought a Braisa with him, that Tani that taught in it, that Rabbi Huda said that no, even if his mother is fit for his father, that still the son is only going to be liable for one karban chatas because he's having relations with his mother, which is kiddutna, like how we had learned in our Mishnah. That version of Rabbi Huda, not the one of the brayse that we quoted. Rabbi Huda, he says, that he's only liable for the violation of his mother and not more than that, even if his mother is fit for his father, not because of Eshes Av. So the Gemara asks for time and might. So what is the reason? Why does Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah disagree with the Tana Kama, where seemingly there's two violations? There's Eshes Av, she's his father's wife, and also it's his mother. So Amar Abaye, he says as follows. He says, the Amar Kirk, as the Pasuk says in Vayikra, it starts off where it says, Ervas Avicha, the Erva of your father, which usually translates like the nakedness, and the Ervas Imcha Loi Segali, and the Erva of your mother, you should not reveal. Continues the Pasuk, Imchahi, she's your mother. Now, why does it need to say she's your mother? What's that word coming to say? Rather, it's coming to tell you that if there is a woman that has both designations, she's both your mother and your father's wife, where Erves Avicha means to say that your father's wife, and Erves Imcha is your mother. So what's Imcha he coming to tell you? Mishim imayat mechayvet, so that the liability would only be because of his mother, biyat mechayv mishim eshes av, and not for the liability of being the father's wife. That's how Abaye says Rabbi Huda knows that you only be liable for Imoy and not for Eshes Av. That has the Gemara, but Elamiata, but if that's the case, that you're expounding Imchahiyah as an exclusionary term, she's your mother, and not she's not Eish Av, then what about the next pasuk? Next pasuk says, Ervas Eishas Avicha Loisikali, the nakedness of your father's wife do not reveal. Ervas Avichahi, it's the nakedness of your father. So by Eishas Av, it also says the term he, that's all she is. By Eishas Av. Seemingly, that should expound to say, oh, if your father's wife, you'll only be liable for Eishes Av and not for the designation of being your mother. So seemingly, how you would translate is that what it's coming to tell you, that when it says, Ervas Eishes Avich in the beginning of the Pasuk, is coming to say that if there's another designation, for example, that she's also your mother, that Mishum Eishes Avat Mechaiba, that you're only going to make him liable, the son who has relations with the father's wife, only because of Eishes Av. But there will not be liability for the fact that she's his mother. But then the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, so what's in the case of when it's his mother, which are regular, usually that's how it usually is. One's mother is usually one's father's wife. So according to what you're saying, would come out as follows. We have one terminology that's excluding the prohibition of the mother, which is the one from Eishes Av. But then we have the other inference from the first pasuk, which it's saying that no, that you're not going to be chayav because of Eishes Av. If that's the case, by default, you're saying that in such a case, since we have contradictory inferences of the psukim, if you're going to expound it as he, as the miut, the way you're going to be expounding and you're going to come out is that if she's only a mother, so that's what says lisigala ervasa. But if your mother has another designation, you're not going to be warned on that one, which therefore then ervas avicha would also be expounded in the same way to say that, oh, if she's eishes avicha, then you'll get that. But if it's also something else too, then you're not warned of that. So what does it come out? It comes out like this. Hashli ima she'en eishes av v'mechayv. So if it's his mother, which she's not married to, she's not his father's wife, oh, then he'll be liable. If it's his father's wife, that's not his mother. So then the second pasuk says, okay, for that he'll be liable. But it comes out, if it's his mother, that's also his father's wife. Seemingly, the pasuk is telling me that then he's not going to be liable for anything because each pasuk tells you that you're not liable for the other thing. Now, Rashi wonders that why didn't the Gemara just ask from Rabbi Yehuda himself? Because he explicitly agrees that although there's no Eishes Av that you're chayav for, but you are chayav for Aim. So that should be the stronger question, where you see that you're not going to be chayav for Imoy, and neither can be chayav for Eishes Av. To which Rashi says that actually the words of the conclusion of the Gemara's question that we have, starting from the first from the wide lines, where it says Hashti Imoy she'ein Eishes Av, etc. Rashi says no, that's extra terminology, and actually the Girsi says should only be Koi hocha memayitla, and that's it. And the Gemara's question is, if that's the case, we have contradictory inferences of the psukim, where what would the halacha be that be liable in his mother, it's excluding Eishes Av. And then you have that Eishes Av is saying, but it's excluding Imoy. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question about, so, but then if we're saying Imoy, he is excluding Eishes Av, but what do we do with the next part if it's excluding Imoy? Vesu, moreover, the Gemara has a difficulty with Abai's interpretation. If you want to expound this he, that imcha he, she's your mother, as a miut, to exclude the Eishes Av, so similarly, the Rabbanan Nami. So what do you do according to Rabbanan? So that you're explaining for the Rabbi Yehuda. But then according to Rabbanan Huxiv imcha he, what do the Rabbanan do with that word imcha he? They don't hold it's only Yechai for Imoy, they hold Yechai for Eishes Av too. So Ella rather says the Gemara, well, you have to say that the word he is not coming to exclude, to say that you're only going to be chayiv for this iser of Imoy and not for any other iser. Because then we said then you have the contradictory inferences of the two psukim. And because if you were saying he as an exclusionary term, it would sound like that she's your mother and no one else is your mother, and that's not something that would be an appropriate drasha. So obviously it's not coming to be used in the context of an exclusionary term. Rather, this term of imchehi is necessary for a different drasha, that of Rav Shisha Bar Davidi, which is brought at the end of the sugya, which is actually brought to teach the punishment of having relations with one's mother who's not his father's wife. Because it actually doesn't say by his mother, dimeimba. it only says Dimeyim Bam, which is the Gzer Shabbat that tells us that there's Skila by Eshes Aviv. Which sounds like whether it's his father's wife that's not his mother, or whether she is his mother. But regarding his mother that's not Eshes Aviv, that only tells us that there's a prohibition, as it says in Mirkirat Ches, Ebras Emcholei Sigali, which sounds like that even if she's not his father's wife. But regarding the punishment, that it doesn't say. And that we learn now from Imchahi, the word he says, Behaviyasatehe, that it should always be like that, meaning in all sides being equal, just like your mother, which is also your father's wife. Then the Pasuk says, Dimeyim Bam, as we see by Eshes Aviv, to get Skila, so too when she's your mother, which is not Eshes Avicha, there's also going to be a punishment of a death penalty. So therefore, says the Gemara here also, Rabbi Yehuda Nami, Hahumi Baile, like Rav Shisha Bri David, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is also utilizing Imchahi to teach us this halacha of Rav Shisha Bri David, that, and therefore there's no support from Abaye to learn from here that there's only Imoi and not Eshes Aviv, so therefore we're back to the question. Now, so too, the he of Erva Savicha would also be then used for a different drasha to actually make him liable even after his father's death, which is also from the same idea of Bahaviyasate, should always be like that, meaning even after his father dies, he'll still be chayev for Eshet Savicha, but again, not to exclude a different Isser, as we had assumed in Abaye's answer. So basically, from the words Elameyata up until the Kedav Shisha Redav Idi, was all long, one long question. And Abaye is saying, it's not tenable, your interpretation, because then we have the contradictory inferences, and if it says the Gemara, rather, we're back to the question, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that there's only Chiyav for Imoy and not Eshesav? So Elam Rav Acha Beridav Ikra, he says a different interpretation. So Amakra, the Pasuk says, Im Vayikra, it says, Im Chahi, she's your mother, and it says, Leisigala Ervasa, he should not reveal her nakedness. Now, that's in the singular, which tells us, Mishum Erva Achas At Mechayev, for a mother, you're only going to be Mechayev for one Erva, Viat Mechayev, Mishum Shtei Ervas. And you're not going to be Mechayev for two Arayis, that's how we know, that's only for Ima, not for Eshes Aviv. But on that, the Gemara asks, Elamiyata, if that's the case, a Pasuk later on says, Ervas Kalas Chalei Segali, the Erva of your daughter-in-law do not reveal, Eshes Ben Chihi, she's the wife of your son, Lei Segali Ervasa, do not reveal hard nakedness. Now, Hachinami, so you're going to say here also, Mishum Erva Achas At Mechayev, because of one Erva you'll be making him liable for his daughter-in-law, Viat Mechayev Mishum Shtei Ervas, and not for two Ervas, because it says in the singular. But what Nan would learn, our Mishum that says, Abal Kalasai, if someone has relations with his daughter-in-law, Chayev Alao Mishum Kalasai, or Mishum Eshesis, he's liable for the fact that she's his daughter-in-law and that she's a married woman. Bei Mechayev Benoi, Bein Achamisis Benoi, and the Isra of Kala of daughter-in-law is whether if his son is alive or even after his son passed away. But one thing is, v'lei polg Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree with that halacha. But based on your interpretation, if it says in the singular, and that's how he knows it's only ima not eshes aviv, he should have disagreed with kalasai too. Ella rather says the Gemara in the refutation of this interpretation of Rabbi Yirmiya of Rav Acha Brida of Ika is that ella kiven the chad gufahu. Rather, to the contrary, since she's one body, she's a daughter-in-law, she's one person. Avagav the trei yisurininu. Even though there is two negative prohibitions, one of daughter-in-law and one of eshes ish, k'siv ravasa. But that's why it says in the singular because it's one body. Hachanam here also there's no proof. Kiven the chad gufahu. Since she's just one body, avagav the trei yisurininu. Even though it's possible that it is two negative prohibitions, k'siv ravasa. That's what it says in the singular. So we're back to the question: how does Rabbi Yehuda know that there's only going to be the isra of imay and not of eshes av? So elam a rabba. Rather, rabba says actually it's from the first pasuk that we mention, which is these two psukim is Mayuku Yudches Zayin and the Mayuku Yudches Ches. From that first pasuk, which Abaye had brought, where it says the term he by Ervas Imcha, that is an exclusionary term, which is how we had originally expounded. But we had asked on this interpretation of Abaye, wait a second, if you're learning Imcha he as exclusionary term, what's with Ervas Avicha? Which then we should also be excluding from, oh, she's only Erbas Avicha, but not the Isra of Aim. And that Rabbah comes to say, no, that's not a difficulty. Because the beginning of the first Pasuk, Ksavra Behuda holds, and the Pasuk reads in whole, these two Pasukim actually, there's three parts to the first Pasuk. It says Erbas Avicha, then it says the Erbas Imcha, Leisigali, did not reveal that, so it's two part. One is the Erva of the father and of the mother. And then the third part is Imchahi, she's your mother, Leisigali Ervas, did not reveal her nakedness. The next pasuk then says, "Ervas eshes avicha leisigal, do not reveal the nakedness of your father's wife. Ervas avichahi, it's the erva of your father." Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first pasuk, which starts off "Ervas avicha," which we're calling the first part, the erva of your father, "Zu eshes avicha," that refers to your father's wife. which is the Eishes Av that we're talking about, which is that that's the Isser, but it's not going to be the Isser of one's mother. Now, how does he know that Eves Avicha means Eishes Avicha? It's because of Maisla B'Gzeir Shavah. He learns that from the Gzeir Shavah, which the Gemara actually will bring later on, where it says over here, Ervas Avicha Lesigali. Then it says by the, where it says later on, Ervas Aviv Gila, just like over there, it's talking about not your father, but your father's wife. So to over here, it's talking about your father's wife. So when it says Ervas Avicha, it really means Eisha Savicha, your father's wife. Now, Umashma, the inference of just the word Ervas Avicha, which we're saying again from Gzeir Shavah, Behuna knows it means your father's wife, it sounds like Bein Eishes Avav She'imei, that the Isser that we're talking about is whether it's your father's wife that's also your mother, which is how it normally is in an intact family, and Bein Eishes Avav She'imei, or whether it's your father's wife that's not your mother, where the Torah is saying that the liability is going to be because of the Isser of Eishes Av. Now, so therefore, when the Pasuk when the other Pasuk says, Ervas Avichahi, the end of the pasuk after that says Ervas Avichahi. That's not coming to tell us that you're going to be chayv because of Av, meaning of Eishes Av, and not because of the mother, which was the question we had originally asked on Abaya, because the beginning of the first pasuk says Ervas Avicha. So that's what the Gemara is trying to, Rav is trying to point out. The word Ervas Avicha, which again means Eishes Avicha, sounds like that with this thing to be chayv for Eishes Av is whether she's not your mother or whether she is your mother. And therefore, as we'll shortly see, since it's including both, it would make sense that when the pasuk later on says in that same pasuk, Imchahi, it's coming to say, oh, but we're coming to exclude that inference and say that no, if it's both, you'll only be chayv for Imai. However, according to Rabbi Huda, when the second pasuk says, Ervas Avichahi, that is not coming to exclude from anything, because the beginning of the pasuk is only talking about Ervas Eishes Avicha, and it doesn't say anything about the Erva of the mother. So then what is Ervas Avicha coming to exclude? That actually, says Rashi, is coming to exclude the Isra of Eishes Ish, which the Gemara says later on that you shouldn't say that by Eishes Av, that actually there's also going to be an Isra of Eishes Ish, because a father is also called Amisa, and you should say Vel Eishes Amicha Leisitin Shechavtecha. That's why it comes to say, no, that it's only the Erva of Eishes Avicha and not for Eishes Ish. Now, when it talks about the Erva of Eishes Avicha, of the Resha of the last Pasuk, when it says Erva Eishes Avicha Leisigali, what is that coming to teach? That's actually coming to teach a warning regarding Eishes Av, after the father passed away, that there's still going to be the Issa of Eishes Aviv. Because we already said in the first Pasuk, Ervas Avicha, which is saying Eishes Avicha. What's the Pasuk afterwards saying? Oh, that's coming to include, even after the father's death, there's still the Issa of Eishes Aviv. But in regards to the primary point, when it says he, which is the exclusionary term by Imcha, that according to Behuda is coming to exclude from the Issa of Eishes Av, which the beginning of that Pasuk was speaking about, which was seemingly all-inclusive. Because from the beginning of that Pasuk, it would sound like that the liability of Eishes Av would be when you have even Imai and Eishes Aviv. And that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it says Ervas Avicha in the beginning of that Pasuk, which we said means Eishes Avicha, that's because, and this is where Rava comes different than Abaya, because Rava holds that it actually means Eishes Avicha. Not that literally the Erva of your father, which would mean actually having homosexuality, Mishkav Zacha, with the father, because that is actually learned out from Gezer Shavah later on, as we said, that it means Eishes Avicha. So it sounds like, and this is what we're repeating, that the beginning of the pasuk sounds like that this is of Eishes Av, is even when it's also his mother, the liability will be that of Eishes Av. And that's when it says Ervas Imcha, what's that coming to teach? If we're already saying that Ervas Eishes Avicha includes Imcha, would be actually including Ananusa, a woman that his father had raped, which was he was born from that union, which is not Eishes Av, but it is his mother. That's coming to exclude, however, at the end of Imchahi, is excluding from the inference of the Resha, the Pasuk, to tell you that no, you're only going to be liable because of Imcha and not of Eishes Av. But again, that's only on something that pertains to that Pasuk, not by Eishes Avicha of the next Pasuk, where Avichahi doesn't come to exclude the inference of the beginning of the Pasuk that it would be including both. So therefore concludes the Gemara, Ima She'ena Eishes Av Minayin. So when it's his mother that's not his father's wife, where do we know this? Tamalim, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Ervas Imcha Lo Yisegali Imchahi. If it's the Erva of your mother, do not reveal that. That's teaching the erva of the mother, but especially when it says imcha ishi is your mother, mishum imayat mechayvay, that you're only reliable because of your mother, says Rabbi Yehuda, v'yet mechayv mishum eishes aviv, you're not going to be liable because of eishes aviv. Now Rashi points out that the halacha of shisha b'rida of idi, which is that how do we know the punishment, the death penalty of having relations with one's mother who is not eishes aviv, that Rabbi Yehuda does not need. Because since he has the gzeir shava that we say later on, from there itself he learns out that the punishment for the mother of not eishes aviv. In contrast, the Rabbanan do not hold to that gzeir shava, because they don't learn erva savicha, meaning eishes savicha, they mean literally the mishkav zachar of one's father. So they learn out from that pasuk of imchahi, as we said before, that where they know the halacha of Rav Shisha b'Rid of Idi, which is excluding which is telling of this halacha of the einish of the imoy that's not eishes av. But to exclude the isser of eishes av, that Rabbanan do not agree to Rabbi Yehuda, because they hold that erva savicha of the beginning of the pasuk is not talking about eishes savicha, which then imcha he says that eishes savicha that includes both mother and father's wife should be downsized and say that no, you won't have eishes avi only because of imcha. They don't hold, because that pasuk of erva savicha is not talking about eishes savicha. They learn this by mishkav zachar and not by the issa of eishes av at all, and therefore the end of the pasuk of imcha he cannot be excluding from eishes savicha because it's not talking about that, and therefore that's the understanding, says Rav, of the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. In that Mishnah, where the Chachamim say reliable for both, because no reason why not. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds the Zayir Shavah of Eres Avicha, which means Eish Avicha, and then the Pasuk says, Imchahi, he's saying, but I want you to exclude that inference of the beginning of the Pasuk, which seems to say, yeah, you get both. No, you only get that of the mother. In contrast, the question that was asked in Abayev, in the next Pasuk, there the Pasuk is not talking about anything, the Reisha, because we already know Eishes Avim somewhere else. It's just coming to add on a certain halacha. When it says Avichahi, he cannot be excluding any inference, and therefore must be teaching something else, and not to exclude to say that only because of Eishes Av and not of Imcha, and therefore that's the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, where he says that you're only liable for Imai and not of Eishes Av.